Turn in your Bibles now to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah and chapter 2. We'll be reading this morning verses 2 or 1 through 13. Zechariah 2, 1 through 13. And before we read the word of the Lord, let us go to the Lord and ask His blessing upon our time now. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We call upon You, asking that You would be shower Your grace upon us, Your favor, as we hear You speak to us now. We ask that You would give us ears to hear, eyes to see Your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He is calling us to be encouraged here, and to look to You and Your presence. And so, Father, we ask that You would bless us and empower us by Your Spirit. And now, as we hear the word read and hear the word preached, Lord, be glorified and call sinners to repentance. Call sinners to Yourself, all of us here, to Your Son. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Zechariah chapter 2, we'll be reading again verses 1 through 13. Starting in verse 1, this is the word of the holy, inerrant, holy God. It is inerrant and infallible. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, "Where are you going?" He said to me, "To measure Jerusalem and to see how wide it is and how long it is." And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him and said to him, "Run, speak to that young man, saying, 'Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst.' Ho there! Flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Ho Zion, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will wave my hand over them so that they will plunder for their slave. They will be plunder for their slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will possess Judah as his portion in the holy land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation." And that is the word of the Lord to us, God's people. Now, this morning we are considering the presence of Yahweh, maybe even the absence of Yahweh. There's nothing more momentous and important than the presence of the Lord among His people, because it is He who makes the greatest difference of all. We must long with all of our being to have the Triune God show us His glory and dwell in our midst. Remember that so far Yahweh has come to His people, He's called them to repent. And as they hear Yahweh's call to repent of their sins, and this introduces us to the night visions, which the first shows us that Yahweh is surveying the earth, and He's jealous for them, His people, and He's angry with their enemies. And so He will come in the vision of the horns and craftsmen and terrify their enemies, and that's the second vision. And now He comes in this third vision, and He will restore His own presence. Both the second and third visions expand and apply the first vision. And what we have before us this morning is the return of the glory of the Lord to His church, which is the theme that we find here. Remember this, that Yahweh's presence is the hope of His church. Yahweh's presence is the hope of His church. And we'll look at this vision in 3 points. The first is God will reveal His presence to His church. God will reveal His presence to His church. Verse 1. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there is a man with a measuring line in his hand. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 16, Yahweh said, my house will be built in it. That is, will be built in it, Jerusalem. Will be built in Jerusalem, declares the Lord of hosts. And the measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. There's a vivid picture before us. A man goes out with a measuring line, and literally this would look like something like a 10-foot pole or a rod in a man's hand, and kind of what you see surveyors do today. They're surveying the land, and here they're surveying a city. And he goes around the perimeter of the city, and piece by piece, laying down the pole, laying down the rod, he goes and he measures these segments of 10 foot or whatever it is, one at a time, all the way around the city. And what he's doing is measuring the building side. And once he's finished measuring, the work begins, the walls begin to go up. And now in this vision, we see an anticipation of the fulfillment of what we saw in chapter 1, verse 16. A man goes out in this vision with the measuring line in his hand. He's going around to measure the city. And we might think immediately that this is good. This means that they'll be rebuilding again. And certainly it does convey that idea. But notice what happens, verse 2. So I said, where are you going? He's saying this to the guy, the man who measures. Zechariah is saying this. Where are you going? He said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. But then something strange and unexpected happens, verse 3. It says, behold, the angel who was speaking with me. Remember that this is not the angel of the Lord here, this first angel, but this is the angel being used to be Zechariah's interpreter of the visions. He's the interpreting angel. It says, behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him. Meet this interpreting angel. That means there are two angels and Zechariah together. Now we'll need to put this in the back of our minds for a moment. But it seems that the other angel coming out to meet this other angel, this interpreting angel with Zechariah, this other angel is coming out to meet him is the angel of the Lord. Because he begins speaking, and you see in verse 4 he starts speaking, it says, run, speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls. And you look at verse 5 and it says, for I, the same person who's speaking, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. This is the angel, the second angel is the Lord. He's the angel of the Lord. That's the angel of the Lord, or the man on the red horse. That's he who becomes the central figure in this vision. And it's not the interpreting angel that speaks. It's the angel of the Lord who speaks. And he spoke what we just read in verse 4. And so do you see the picture? Zechariah asked this interpreting angel to interpret the vision of the man measuring. But instead of that angel interpreting, another angel comes, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And he comes and he explains to Zechariah that the blessing is going to be far exceed what the man with the measuring line intends. The man is going to measure the walls, and the angel of the Lord says, run, go to the man who is measuring and tell him to stop what he's doing. Because what I'm about to do in the midst of my people cannot be measured. There's something surprising in the vision. The walls cannot be measured. And because of this, they will have no walls at all. The Lord is showing to us the blessing of His returning presence to His church. And there's also an idea here of expansiveness. And so putting ourselves in the people of Judah's shoes for a moment, they might be taken back by this. Yahweh saying no walls. When we are small in number, enemies on every side, because they're in the land of Judah and there's enemies on every side, as we've already saw, especially for what we'll see in the future in Nehemiah and the building of the walls. And here's the Lord saying, don't build the wall. Don't even measure it. There'll be so many inhabiting Jerusalem that there won't even be able to stay within the gates. So don't build them. Don't measure it. They and their livestock, which the livestock being brought in there is a symbol of blessing. They and their livestock will be throughout the country in great numbers. And this is not to say that the Lord is saying to Nehemiah or anyone else, stop building the wall. He's not saying that. He's describing the fact that the presence of the Lord is going to mean something great for His people. And when Yahweh is in the midst of His church here and now, and even in the late 5th century B.C., it is the presence of the Lord that brings the blessing of the Lord upon the church. And so God is restoring His presence, as we'll see in a moment. The blessing will be too big for the city to contain it. And so you have this picture of don't measure it. It's too big. Of the blessing, the presence of the Lord. It's too big. And then, Zechariah is hearing this. Judah is hearing this. What's the looming question? If the city has no walls, how will we be safe? How will we be defended from our enemies? And the Lord adds, verse 5, "For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." And so now, obviously, there's a picture here of Yahweh leading His people, if you didn't catch it, of His people out of Egypt. By the glory cloud and the pillar of fire. He made Himself what we would call a wall between His people and Egypt, the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And so the Egyptians couldn't cross over to the camp of Israel. And so He's saying now, in Zechariah, when I restore my people, I'm going to be present in their midst, just like when I was with my people and out of Egypt and coming out of Egypt. And I'll be the glory in their midst. I'll be their defense. I'll be the wall of fire surrounding the people, but in such a greater way that what the walls of a city could do in protecting my people, it's going to be so much greater than what a wall could do. Because as we've seen throughout history, enemies can break through walls or go over walls or go through the gate. But here, the Lord is a wall of fire surrounding His people, and you cannot get in. And that's the picture that's set before us. This is not literal, physical. But He is saying that the blessing that I will bring to my people will far exceed rebuilding the earthly Jerusalem. And really what He's saying in all of this is, I will return. And perhaps it was that God's people at this time were hearing this and thinking of the last part of Ezekiel, which they had already heard. Where there also is a man with a measuring line. But he isn't told to go away. He measures the walls and the boundaries, and he describes the great rebuilding and great return of God's people. And this third vision is being used perhaps as a jarring contrast to Ezekiel. And the vision there, Revelation, ends the same way, measuring the gates of the city and the walls in the New Jerusalem. But really, these are different metaphors describing different things, though they sound similar. On the one hand, measuring all the walls shows the strength and the stability of the place, but here it isn't so much the strength and stability that's being emphasized, but as the expansiveness of it all. And we cannot miss this. What Yahweh is really teaching us is that He has something better planned for His people than rebuilding Jerusalem, which is very... They needed to hear that, because they're trying to rebuild the temple and they're trying to rebuild the walls of the city, as we'll see in Nehemiah. There's something bigger than that that's going on after these 70 years of exile. And He uses a word picture to describe it to us, something great that He's going to do. Where this really comes to pass is in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus calls people out of all the nations. All the nations of the earth out, all of all tongues and tribes and backgrounds, and He fills His church with these people. And so the blessedness of being God's people goes far beyond the exiles coming back and dwelling in the land and rebuilding the temple and the city and the walls. If you want to know where this Jerusalem is, that is a village without walls. Beloved, here it is before you. It's the church of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Himself ensuring your security and ensuring you're being blessed by His own presence. That's the picture that is set before us here in this book, in chapter 2. And the Lord is not only the glory in the midst of His people, He is the glory in our midst this morning. It's not just the glory of Judah's midst. It's not just the churches in the church's midst. It's in our midst. Personalize that for you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. And beloved, the glory of the church does not reside in ceremonies, rituals, traditions, cathedrals, or buildings at all, and all the external things that tend to bring people to stand in awe. The true glory of the church of Jesus Christ is the presence of the triune God. And He is the glory in our midst. He is a wall of fire surrounding us. Beloved, whether in trial or in adversity, Yahweh is present among us. Nothing happens in your life apart from His plan, apart from His purpose for good, for your life. How often has the Lord protected you? Look at yourselves. You're still here. You're still breathing, still living, which is testimony to that. Every moment of every day, for all of your life, He has been protecting you and been a wall of fire around you. It's a glorious thing that the Lord continues to be a wall of fire around His church to the present day and forever. We need to recognize that Yahweh's presence in our midst and Yahweh's protection surrounding us does not exempt us from difficulty or suffering or persecution and even physical death. It does mean that His protecting presence is with us in every circumstance of life. Even if you think back to David in the Psalms when he's in the cave and when he's fleeing for his life, he's always relying on the presence of Yahweh with him to protect him, protect his soul. Nothing can take his soul. And notice that he's telling the other angel to run and speak. This shows that God is eager to bless His church. Run! I'm so thankful that here, as we think about ourselves and what we have, that the Lord has not given us a wonderful, glamorous building. Have you thought about that? You should be thankful for that. It's a great building. God has blessed us with it. He's enabled us to have it without, we don't have any mortgage or anything like that. It's great. And it's a blessing because we can come here and worship freely and easily. But we should be thankful also that God has given us this building where we can worship Him together. We don't have any of these external glamorous things that we'll be standing in awe of. But the only thing that's allowed for us to be standing in awe of is His glory and His presence. May we be thankful that here the glory is found in Yahweh, not the externals, hopefully. We serve this Lord who is the glory of the church and encircles us like a wall of fire. That's the first point. God will reveal His presence to His church. And secondly, now God loves and cares for His church. God loves and cares for His church. Verse 6, He says, "Ho there, flee from the land of the north," declares the Lord. Before the Lord expresses His love, He is calling to the people who wouldn't come the first time. When the exile ended, He's calling out not to those who have come out of Babylon and are already in the land, but He's calling out to those who remained in Babylon because they thought it would be too difficult to forsake everything to follow Yahweh. And in this, there's this increased application, which would be to all the nations. But particularly, He's talking to those Jews who remained in Babylon. If we were to talk about it today, we could probably say these are the people who forsook taking up their cross and following Jesus. It's too costly, too difficult, too dangerous to be a faithful Christian in an unbelieving world when they return back to Jerusalem and Judah. It's too difficult to forsake my own personal sin to follow Christ. And now Yahweh says to those people, these people, you thought it would be easier to stay in Babylon than to count the cost and follow Yahweh. Now I tell you, it is otherwise. Ho, flee from the land of the north. And that land of the north is Babylon. And notice He isn't saying, come back to the land willingly. He says, flee for your lives. Because what you thought was safer in that pagan land, rather than denying yourself, it will be more difficult for you in the end than it would have been in the beginning. One of the temptations of the devil, he comes and when he says to your conscience, it's easier to be spiritually lazy, to have a faith that costs nothing and requires little effort on our part, on your part. Little mortification, little prayer, little fighting against the world, the flesh and the devil. Little cost in being rejected by others and facing dangers in this world. And the Lord comes and He says, ho there, flee from the land of the north. Like your life depends on it. Which it did. Declares the Lord. For I have dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. And then He adds verse 7. Ho Zion, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. And Zion is there referring to His people. Verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory He has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of His eye, the Lord's eye. And thankfully, there's a translation that I'm using has it correct, and it doesn't say after this or after His glory. But literally, as some of our translations say that, after His glory, literally it says after glory He sent me. After glory, He sent me. Notice who's speaking here. And thus says the Lord of hosts. And so the me is the Lord of hosts. After glory, He sent me. And the He is also Yahweh. After glory, Yahweh sent me. Who is Yahweh? And yet the me and the He is Yahweh. Both are Yahweh. That's the Lord who's speaking. Yahweh saying, I will be the glory in the midst of my people. And Yahweh is announcing this to Zechariah. Now the Lord of hosts is saying, Yahweh sent me. We see at least two persons at work in the Godhead here. Yahweh sending Yahweh. The Lord who is returning to His people in glory speaks of Yahweh sending Him. Here's a passage that speaks to the coming of the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Christ to come and the incarnation, Yahweh to His people, to be present with them. And so after the blessing of God to them and the glory of Yahweh in the midst of the church and His blessing them and protection, Yahweh will send the Christ and He will come. And in Matthew, we hear that His name shall be called Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. For He shall save His people from their sins. And this is why the Lord describes the blessings here in such a great measure. This is why the man who measures can't measure the walls. Because what God is doing in sending the angel of the Lord, the divine Son of God, to save the people of God, will be infinitely greater than creating and erecting temples and building walls. He adds verse 9, for behold, I will wave my hand over them, so that they will be plunder for their slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Who sent the angel of the Lord sending the Lord. The picture there is, in verse 9, is almost like that of a judge in a courtroom who becomes exasperated with the people before him, and he shakes his hand, he waves his hand, and dismisses them from the courtroom. And here's Yahweh, Jesus Christ, being described before His enemies, who are also your enemies. And with a flick of a wrist, He's able to scatter all the enemies, all your enemies, and all the earth who stand against His people. And that is to be an encouragement to you. This word is to be encouraging to you. Yahweh dwells among us. He's a wall of fire around us, protecting us. And this is the God who's present with us. This is the Lord who we approach through faith in His Son, who died on the cross, who takes away the wrath of God due to us for our sin, who counts us as righteous only because of the righteousness in Christ alone on our behalf. And this is the one whom Yahweh sent and who is present with us today by the Spirit of Christ. Do you know this Lord of hosts? Do you know what it is to experience the glory of God in worship? Have you come to embrace the Lord Jesus? Does it thrill your heart that Jesus, the Son of God, dwells in your midst? In the midst of God's people of the day, and He's like a wall of fire surrounding you. Isn't that an encouraging picture? to those who are going through trials and struggles and afflictions and sufferings. You who the devil keeps tempting and you keep letting him in. Doesn't this encourage you? Here is the Lord Jesus Christ who waves his hand at such an enemy as the devil and shakes his fist over the nations. And he's able to disperse and scatter them, all his enemies, simply by his will. Will you not trust in Jesus, this angel of the Lord who is present with his people? It's Yahweh who keeps you, who guards you, guards your soul. He guards you and keeps you as you, his people, as the apple of his eye. He cherishes and loves you and protects his people, even the people who initially wouldn't come, just like all of us. The people who initially would not come, the people who delayed and are delinquent and stayed in Babylon amongst the world, and maybe even that some of you here today, the children especially, you're like that. You've heard many times the gospel and yet you've been delinquent. And you've still wanted to be of the world and delayed in professing faith. And this cherishing protection, as we're looking at it, he's inviting you to come. He's inviting these people who are still in Babylon to come and take up their cross and follow Jesus. And the Lord's cherishing his protection is like when someone goes to try to poke you in the eye. And you instinctively retreat and close your eye and do anything you can do so someone wouldn't be able to poke you in the eye. And so the Lord does infinitely his all in his protecting and cherishing his people without fail, much more than we can do protecting our own eyes. And here's Yahweh saying, come out from Babylon. Come out from the world. Take me and I will be your God. I will be present with you by my Spirit and I will cherish and protect you just as I have with those who have already come unto me. Have you rejected the gospel before? Rejected Christ? Have you been called to repent and you've refused? Here's the Lord calling to you at least one more time. Yes, you rejected him before. But he's calling you now. Come unto him. Repent of your sins. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There he says, flee and escape. He's really saying in these words, he is saying come, but he's saying it in such an opposite way. He's saying flee from the world and flee from death because there you have no life. Flee and escape Babylon, the adulteress. Flee and escape. Even now, he will embrace you and he will welcome you and will be present with you if you come. Come now and embrace the Lord in his mercy. Don't be like those who remained in the north and in Babylon and still remain there even after this call. But let us follow Christ and take up our cross. Follow him now. Let us embrace his promises. And there we see in this passage that God loves and cares for his church. And finally, then, God calls the nations to join his church. That's what we're already seeing, but to emphasize it a little bit more, God calls the nations to join his church. This picture seems to be already clear. The people have come in. They filled the city. The walls can't keep them in. God is their protection. He adds to this picture, verse 10, calling them to sing. Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Many nations, not just Israel. Then I will dwell in your midst and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And notice that's the Lord of hosts is speaking. And it's the Lord of hosts who has sent me, the Lord of hosts, to you, God's people. The Lord will possess Judah and his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. So he always sends his Son to redeem his people and manifest his glory. He calls all the nations to embrace his Son. And that's why the city is a village without walls, because of the people from every tribe and tongue and nation who embrace him. Now this should cause us to sing. That's what he's calling us here to do. Sing. Because we look around us every time and we gather together on the Lord's Day. We have great cause to remember all the things we are reading of in this text coming to fruition. Have already come to fruition. Christ has come, and the nations are coming in. Where are the nations? God being faithful again to His promises. And this is why coming together on the Lord's Day is one of and should be the most enjoyable on the earth. Because the Lord has brought in the nations. And He has sent Jesus for us. And we celebrate Jesus every time we gather together on the Lord's Day. Not only His resurrection, which the first day of the week is the day He rose from the dead, but everything, His incarnation, His life, His death, the resurrection, ascension, and His session, and His coming to judge on the last day. We celebrate it all. Who He is and what He's done. And may it be that every Lord's Day that we are able to sing for joy and be glad, and that we are able to do that because Christ has come. And He has come for all types of people. Not just Jews. Not just some sinful people. But all who would come unto Him in faith. And it's almost, as we look at the very last verse, one of these Paul moments where Paul goes off on a doxology and he kind of can't control himself in doxology, and then he finally brings himself back down. And we see where he learns that from. He learns it from Yahweh Himself, because Yahweh seems to do that here in verse 13. It says, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for He is aroused from His holy habitation." Unbelievers, be silent and terrified of the Lord's presence, for He has been aroused and He's coming in judgment. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, be silent, standing in awe of your gracious Lord, who in all His glory comes to us and is present with us, knowing that He sees the wicked. And with a flick of His wrist, and not even with that, He can just, by His will, cast them out. And He has come and He will save you. Not only from your enemies, physical, but your sin and the situations you're in. And He will judge those enemies. So let us be silent before the Lord now. Let's pray. Father, we do come to You in the name of the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who has come already, who has been faithful. You have been faithful to Your promises. You fulfilled them in Him, and still fulfilling them in Him. When we have this great picture of protection, which we can't see, and often we can't see at all, this protection, this wall of fire around us, that we have through Him, because He is present with us, His Spirit now, the Spirit of Christ being sent into our hearts. You are always with us, no matter whether we walk through the valley of the shadow of death or we're on the heights of Mount Zion. You are always with us, present with us. And we see Your glory in Your Son. We thank You that He reigns, that He is enthroned in power and authority and majesty. And so, Father, we ask that You would cause us in response to these things and the salvation that You bring upon into our lives, that You would cause us to sing for joy and be glad always. There's no reason we should ever not be singing for joy and being glad and rejoicing in You for what You are, for who You are and what You've done. Well, Lord, let it be genuine from our heart that You be working in us these things. And that as we stand before You, as we sit before You, cause us to be silent in the silence of standing in awe of You, God of great wonder and grace and mercy. Father, we do ask that You would hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.